So, to me, a real privilege coming to the house of the Lord. I always look forward to it because it's such a glorious privilege. We're planning, if the Lord is willing, to set a tent meeting in Olive Branch, Mississippi. We had considered this, and I was waiting for a leadership in it, and Brother Herman called and asked us if we would come and preach a convention in the church in Olive Branch, and I waited. I haven't answered him. I waited and decided I was going to pray and see what the Lord had to say about it. So the Lord has still directed my heart in a tent meeting in Olive Branch and not a convention in the church. So as far as I know, unless he shows me different or tells me different, we'll set a tent meeting. And Brother Taylor probably tonight after service will contact Brother Herman and tell him that we're coming into that area with a tent meeting. Now, we'd look forward to this tent meeting in Olive Branch because it has to do with a great thing in God. It's a great thing that's taking place. And these meetings, it seems like that as a rule, most of our meetings and our whereabouts, where we go overseas or here locally, always has to do with a great thing over the Revelation. And this has to do with a great, outstanding thing. And we kind of waited to see what the Lord would say and how we should go about it. But as far as I know, we'll set a tent meeting in the areas of Olive Branch, Mississippi, somewhere in that area. And we're looking for a real, outstanding meeting. This meeting has to do with the return of Jesus. And it has to do with the Lord setting his feet upon the Mount of Olives, the mountain cleaving in halves. As we said the other night, from the east to the west and moving from the north to the south, and the great river or abundance of water coming out of that mount, flowing down into the Dead Sea, healing the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, as you've heard me preach, is a representation of the Jewish people that are dead, that there is nothing that can live in the heart of a Jewish person toward the Messiah. They're dead. Cut off, the waters of life within them has been taken from them. And we've related it back to Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife, and how the whole thing came about, and how that she was turned to a pillar of salt, how that the Dead Sea, this great sea, is so filled with minerals and referred to the Salt Sea. You remember what happened when Brother James Isaac was over and those tracks fell out of his pocket into the Dead Sea. And the Lord spoke to me and I said, this is the healing of the waters. The promised son Isaac and the track on the faith of the fathers. Then we went on up to the Mount of Olives and came down the little trail. Came down to the Eastern Gate, and you remember how we went into the Mosque of Omar, and when we passed by, we threw the track on the faith in on the rock that is called the Dome of the Rock, where Abraham offered Isaac up as a sacrifice. And we said, after this, that rock will be redeemed, and the Jews will take it back, which they did. After all those many, many multiplied years. That means that, and it's not far away, but they do that, and that means the coming forth of Israel. Well, when we had the Atlanta meeting, it had to do with the cutting off of the Gentiles. We had the Macon meeting, it had to do with the resurrection. And when we have the Olive Branch meeting, It'll have to do with the return of Jesus to the Mount of Olivet and the coming forth of the Jews, or the changing of the government from the Western world to the Eastern world, or from the Gentiles to the Jewish people, and to bring in the millennium. And so then we had made the statement that the shooting of the Pope had to do with the end of the papacy and the end of American government, or the government in the earth, or the end of the church in the earth. And that had to do with the blood coming off of the mercy seat, the spilling of his blood, the blood coming off of the mercy seat, and that the seat was now left empty. And sure enough, we said it had to do with the end of the world, and they interviewed some people, and they made the statement, said, "We feel like this is the end of the world." And they made the statement concerning the basilica, said everything is back to normal in Rome, except one thing, the seat is empty. So the seat of mercy, really and truly, it denoted the seat of mercy, because as long as there was a pope sitting there after that fashion, unmolested by the world, it indicated the mercies of God, the sure mercies of David. The mercies of God was still with the Gentile people. And when the blood goes off, as you've heard me say, it means the red dragon cast out. So then the papacy carries two types. One is a spiritual type of the blood on the mercy seat. The other is the red dragon being cast out, which is blood life cast out of the presence of God. So then this happening, having to do, as we said, with the deadly wound being healed and all the world wondering after the beast. Like we was talking today, the vicar of Christ, the numerical value is 666. The number of his name, Revelation says. One would come, continue a short while, which was typically brought out by the one that died. And then with this papacy being like it is, we explained the other night how it had to do with St. Pete, the boat and the jewels going down there, and the number of things that we spoke of concerning Mexico and other different things. We spoke of this, Sister Mariana coming over. We spoke of the baptism of the priest and of Tony, the apostolic succession, and how that Brother Conrad and Tony came in from down in Louisiana, you remember? They brought that rice, bag of rice, which had to do with the new harvest coming over the Jordan. And as they brought the new sack of rice in that says Prince's Rice with the crown on it, we made the statement that this has to do with the crossing of the Jordan. They come in with those two new trailers. And about that time, I looked down and little Joshua was loading the stones up on his little truck. And I said, "They're going over the Jordan, you know, the stones and the rice and the crown being restored to Israel, the apostolic succession." And we spoke of how that we turned this, after that the priest came over, we talked down in the basement how that when the apostolic succession moved to a little Bethlehem and how it came back here, that it would leave the papacy of Rome and that he would have it no more. We spoke about that when the crown was taken away from him a long time ago. And then through this Macon meeting of the scarlet thread hanging out, and then concerning Rahab, the harlot, and how that the harlot church had done that, and how that the priest had brought this and hung it over the Bible stand showing the escape. Joshua going over the Jordan and the walls crumbling, which had to do with the Macon meeting. The apostolic succession, in that the apostolic succession or the successor of Peter, that is, it would have to be a baptism in Jesus' name thing, and we spoke of the baptism in Jesus' name concerning the priesthood, the Catholic Church, And Brother Priest was telling me today that he's converted even his following in his own church to where they're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he said he's discovered in the encyclopedia, the Catholic encyclopedia, that that was the original baptism in Jesus' name. And this stole, as we say, we spoke of how that they put the stole around the priest in the ordination, and how that it had come back, and we gave it to Jesus. We dedicated it to Jesus while the priest was sitting there, and we said, now it has gone back to its original owner, the Levitical priesthood, pointing to Christ Jesus, who was the high priest, and now it's gone back to its original owner, that they killed Jesus, and they stole his priesthood, and from that time on it was called a stole. And that when we returned it back to Jesus. After it went through the dark age, we returned it back to Jesus. I said, and now he can come for his body, which is his bride, anytime he can come. I said, it has to do with Brother Branham, and immediately Brother Branham came for his body or his wife. And I said, his wife has to do with the tabernacle. Billy Paul Branham being elected pastor. If you remember, I said when we set the white tent there, that the separation of the evangelistic association from the tabernacle, the man in the tabernacle rejecting us, Billy Paul having the spirit of it, the evangelistic association, the body without the spirit's dead, the withdrawal. We pointed out that it had to do with Brother Branham's tent down by the river, the rent veil, and the new coming in that was our tent sitting there, the new tabernacle. And that Brother Branham this year would be resurrected and they would not see it. And in Billy Paul, taking the name of his dad, in Billy Paul went into the tabernacle, took over the tabernacle away from the man that rejected us. Made the tabernacle and the evangelistic association one, that is the spirit with the body, which meant Brother Branham returning to his wife, which meant Jesus returning to his bride, his church body to pick it up, which means coming back to the Jews. Now, in this, we had spoke about the cornerstone of the message that Brother Branham put in the tabernacle in the cornerstone, and how it deteriorated and what it had to do with the graveyard and those things when we were up there. In that Billy Paul went back into the tabernacle. If you remember, we said this was Brother Branham's name, Brother Branham's bone and flesh going back into the tabernacle. They elected him pastor, which meant Billy Paul Branham was again the pastor of the tabernacle. The resurrection of Brother Branham, we said it was the end of it concerning Lee Vale, the veil in which it had went, and Jack Palmer that had to do with the Palmer worm. Before the body saw corruption, God took it away, as we say, Sister Branham. In the wreck where we predicted Brother Branham's death, we said the rent veil that had to do with the tent sitting down by the river, and then 6 years later or something here, his wife is. We said the veil is not rent anymore. And she was in a wreck as tying those two things together, and they had sewed the places up and was taking the stitches out, which indicated the rent was no longer rent. The door was no longer open in heaven. The door was closed to the Gentile church. And immediately as she went out on Tuesday, the Pope was killed on Wednesday, was it? We said that the Lord can now come back for his church because the apostolic succession has went down through the years and then gone back to its rightful owner, which was Jesus. And immediately the wife was taken. Immediately the Pope was shot. That is to say that just as quick as Jesus took his throne, to the extent of the apostolic succession, he moved the intruder off of the throne, which was the Pope, that which had taken it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence by force. The Bible said the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. Men press their way into it, and that the kingdom of God suffers violence at the hand of men, and the men are Power had taken it by force. So they stole it, took it, run through the dark age, and then come back down to this time. And all of a sudden, coming down to this time, the Lord took it back and immediately moved the intruder, which meant the blood off the mercy seat, showing the church was no longer in the earth that the Catholic Church represented. Sister Branham going out, the rapture of the bride. And as I said the other night, so that it's not confusing, Jesus came to the Jews, but the Jews rejected him. So then Christ inside of Jesus, through Paul, went to the Gentiles to get the bride. So then Brother Branham, who was rejected, that meant the spirit or the message of Brother Branham left his people and went to get a bride which was not of his people. And now that it has come to the end of that, the close of that, the Jews and the church, they'll unite together. And the Christ that has finished his work in the innermost sanctuary, which is the heart of mankind, in that you're the temple and tabernacle of God, that Christ finishing his work, the church ages being over, that means that the sun is to become sevenfold, the light sevenfold, or that is to say, the perfect message of the fullness of the seven messengers of the church ages, or the change of our body, which brings in the Jews. And the Jews coming in, that means a uniting, as Brother J.T. Parnell saw, where our people unite with Brother Branham's people, or the Jews with the church. Coming in, Brother Branham and his wife together. Remember, Brother Branham had two wives. Jacob had two wives. Now, both of them is with Brother Branham. One of them signified one thing. The other signified another. Now, then, both of them are there. We brought out about Leah and Rachel a number of times. We brought it out. And what we're saying, in essence, is that if the blood is off of the mercy seat, then that simply means that to the days of the Gentiles has come to a close. And coming to a close by the Pope going off of the mercy seat, or the judgment seat as we say, that means, like we said, the Lord can come back any time for his people. And no sooner did we turn it over to the Lord saying he could come back till he moved the Pope and made way for the coming back to his people. Now, as long as the Pope is on the throne, as we say in that way, in the basilica, that meant the crown being there, that meant the middle wall of partition was still there, and that he could not return for his body. But now the heavenly priesthood is taken over. And we said this the other night, Jesus Christ in the Holies of Holies, the high priest beyond the veil, the ministry, the fivefold ministry in the holy place, the second veil or the second place of the tabernacle, not the holies of holies, but the holy place. Levites could come into there. The sons of Levi could come in there. The ministry can come there, but only the high priest could go beyond the veil, which means into the secret things. Christ was the high priest. The ministry represented the sons of Levi. Now, in that, Brother Conrad, Brother Tony, came and brought the rice, the crown on it, 975 B.C., I said the crown left, went down to the Gentiles through Babylon, come all the way around through the church ages. Now it's returned to its rightful owner, Jesus. You remember the papacy got rid of it. When they come from Louisiana. Louisiana is called, in the spirit, the purchase possession. It's called in the natural, the Louisiana Purchase. Going back to Napoleon, the Louisiana Purchase, when they come, Tony came and Brother Conrad, and they gave us some $15,000 worth of property in that area. The Louisiana Purchase, or the purchased possession, the redemption of the body, the crown on the rise, the new harvest. When this new harvest came, little Joshua playing with those stones there, I spoke of what it had to do with and the crown returning, the boats, the jewels, how that the crown had to do with Her Majesty, the boat being in Her Majesty's Navy. That's called the land of the crown, or they refer to that as the crown. We spoke of Prince Charles taking over up there, how he would come into power and what it had to do with, and the boat having to do with the redemption, and the jewels having to do with the catching up of the jewels, the translation of the church, and how that in Tucson on this trip, we spoke of how we went into Mexico, gave the garments to those that were in Mexico. They sing, "How long, how long?" Gave them white garments, they under the altar. Then the rest of the dead living not again, in that we gave that key that come from Brother Keys to Brother Al that was locked in Mexico, as we say. Now, the Catholic Church having to go underground in Mexico again showed the church gone. The crown coming back, that is to say the jewels, the trip to Tucson. When we got to Tucson, saw Satan. He went down into a hole. We faced him in the vision. A voice said, "That's the end of Satan." Out of that hole came those jewels. Brother Conrad immediately sent us a box of jewels from Louisiana. And then the man says he'll give us $34,000 worth of jewels if that's paid off at a certain time. The boat was purchased with $500,000 worth of jewels. "When I come to make up my jewels," Jesus said. Yesterday, when the rice came in, the new harvest, as we said, going over the Jordan, I lay down a little earlier than I usually do, and I was seeing a vision. I had my eyes closed, and I said, "I'm seeing a vision." And then after that, in either going into the living room to pray or laying on my bed, I went into a night vision that was different from that, whether in a sleep or whatever, I don't know. But I related to the brethren today how I saw a certain brother in this vision and what he was doing. This certain brother feels like he's really the successor of Brother Branham, and I saw him in the vision. You remember how I said that he was chewing tobacco, and I brought out what it had to do with about the Brother Branham ministry being at a close because he feels like he knows so much about the Brother Branham ministry, having the tapes and all. And that very night that I saw that as a close to the Brother Branham ministry, that is his wife representing his ministry being gone out, as it was with Abraham. Abraham's two wives representing Old and New Jerusalem, representing the ministry there. Well, anyway, in seeing this, I saw that concerning the boy. Then I was laying on the bed and the lightning was popping. And I thought, this is real unusual. Lord, there's something to this. It's not just something happening. What are you trying to show me by this storm? And then it came to me, Lucifer being cast out of heaven. And I could hear it pop. And I thought, God, you're doing something. And I got down on my knees to pray. And then the Lord began to talk to me. Well, then I went off to sleep. The next morning, they come and told me that lightning had struck over at Willie's house and burned his little warehouse down. I don't know who told me that. But anyway, it was just perfect for him to tell me that, because the Lord spoke to me and said the sacrifice of Elijah consumed by fire. And after the sacrifice of Elijah, with the consuming of the fire, then came Elisha, the double potion. And with that, the Jezebel thing was over. The contest between Elijah and the prophets of the world, the Jezebel thing, that goes back to the harlot church. Then the Lord said to me, "The storehouse of Willie is no more." And I heard him say to me, "You remember what the black brother and Jeff told you?" The black brother and Jeff told me, said, "You know, we always called Brother Branham Willie. You remember I made the statement when we gave the truck to Brother Willie that it had to do with Brother Branham. It came from Jeffersonville, Indiana through Brother Coon. I gave it to Brother Willie. It had to do with Brother Branham, and we spoke of the trailer also coming from Dwight, the one that Susie had, and Brother Dwight having to do with the sounding of the last trumpet, his negotiation with Willie. And so then, Willie's storehouse, no more. That is, Brother Branham's storehouse of the food he said that he had stored up was gone. Sister Branham gone away. The consuming of the sacrifice of Elijah, going back to the Jews, and then the translation of the double potion, which means redemption of the body, in that the spirit has already been redeemed, in that we are saints of God inwardly by the mission of Christ, the high priest within the tabernacle. The Lord went on to clarify a number of things, showing us very clearly how that it had to do with the end of the world, that everything had come to its climax. Now would be the meeting in Olive Branch where the Lord returns his foot to the Mount of Olivet to cleave in halves, and that there it would be a convention or a gathering having to do with the ministry, having to do with the people. And some of you remember how we published a little article over there when we made the statements that Brother Delma Baldwin will come and set his tent here in Olive Branch, and that Brother Terrell will come here to this tent, and we said that Brother Grady Pike would be over there at that tent meeting. And it had to do with the feast. What did we call it? The Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of whatever it was, it had to do with that. Well, this goes back to that very thing. And this meeting goes back to the fact that we came through there as a pauper. And we go back there in a different manner altogether. A new tabernacle, the changing of the government to signify that the government is taken away from the Gentile people and given to the Jewish people. Remember, we came from Olive Branch here, coming from there here, and going from here there. We also spoke of the, somebody had a vision where we built a big, beautiful tabernacle there that was bigger than this one, if you remember. But the gold that has just been discovered, I understand, in California, I said it would probably be a greater thing than it was before, because gold has to do with government, and it would have to do with the resurrection of Brother Branham and the West being revived to the resurrection, in that it's just about become a graveyard to the extent that everything has happened there, driving people eastward. But having to do with the redemption of the body, the gold, I say this again, gold means government. When you have gold, then that is what they use for a standard for money, which gives you a government. Your government being gold. So if there's new gold, that's new government. If there's new government, if it has to do with faith, and that gold does have to do with faith, then that means that there is a new message. Because faith cometh by the hearing of the message or the word. New message, new word for the season, new gold, new government. That is a new order coming in the spiritual realms, showing that God is doing a new thing. Coming in, doing a new thing. So then that means that that new thing of the new gold rush toward California is coming in, and I said it'd probably be bigger than the other, and they think it to be even greater than the first. Well, anyway, we said all those things the other night in speaking to you, trying to orient your mind to what we're doing, and we spoke also of some things we haven't said here concerning the coach, the sandals, Snow White, and the little place over here that Brother Stafford had, and putting the tires on the coach and so forth. every little thing. See, let me say this. All things are a type. They have a spiritual significance. But you don't know what they are, and I don't know what they are, until we get the mind of Jesus Christ. Because it is the mind of Jesus Christ that is heir to the glory of God. And the mystery or the unrevealed is God's glory. So when you get the mind of Jesus Christ, then you are heir to the hidden mysteries. Paul called them heavenly treasures, the glories of God, made known to the church through the mind of Jesus. So that is to the body through the mind of Christ. Now then, we can't know what all these things mean, though we know that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by these visible things. But we don't know what it is. But when we get the mind of Christ, that's the mind of God. That makes us relative to the Spirit and to the invisible. So then the mind of Christ being heir to the glory of the mysteries, then God can speak to us, as we would say, like the Indian old sign language. You know, the Indian spoke through the sign language. So then this means this and this means this. And so then God, when He wants to speak to us, if we've got the mind of Christ, the anointing just comes on us, and this begins to unveil, and this begins to unveil, and He'll take this and this and this and this and put it together, and after a while He spoke to us. And the mind being heir to that glory, we know exactly what the Spirit is saying under the churches, or we see exactly what He's doing. This is the way you interpret a dream. He'll let this natural thing be there, and this natural thing be there, and this natural thing. Some of those things that you've seen through the day, and He'll put this there, and this in this place, this in this place. And then when you wake up, you say, my, what is that? I never figured that out. Like Daniel's lion with a man's heart, and leopard with wings, and all those kind of things. I never figured that out. But all of a sudden, when the anointing comes on you, the mind of Christ, when it comes on you, suddenly when the mind of Christ comes on you, like Daniel, you interpret that dream, because the mind of Christ begins to come on you, and the anointing begins to come on you, and you know what this means and that means and this means and that means in the Spirit. It all comes together. You say, well, praise God, this is what He was saying. And thus you interpret the dream. Well, I said all that to say this. We're planning to set a meeting in Olive Branch, Mississippi. We could say many things, but I say a few things like this alone to let you understand what's happening. We're not children of the intellectual darkness, but rather children of the Christian light, which is the mind of Christ. That day is not coming upon us unawares. We know that it's nigh, even at the door. And all of the virgins are going to wake up. That is, religious people that are intellectually oriented in religion. That is, naturally oriented. That is, people who have natural formality of religion are still considered those set apart, virgins. They are in the darkness. Whereas we, having the mind of Christ, are not children of darkness. We are children of light. But we are still in the world to the extent the body has not yet been redeemed. So both of them are in the darkness. At the midnight cry, which is the revelation, which is now coming, the Olive Branch thing has to do with it, all of a sudden both of them are going to come to a reality. They're going to come to reality. But one's going to have the Holy Ghost, which is the mind of Christ, the all. And they're going to wake up, and they're going to wake up to eternal life and light. Their little lamp will light up. The spirit of man, God's spirit, is searching out the inward part. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. They'll rise up and light their little lamp or their candle. The others will rise up but won't have the Holy Ghost, and they'll see this great Holy Ghost move and this great religious thing, there'll be a great charismatic move, and they'll see this thing, and it'll brighten up, and all of them will wake up to a religious stride and forget about worldly things to the extent that they'll get excited over religion. When they wake up, they'll run for that oil, but it'll be too late. The church will be already sealed in. The ones that have it will be sealed in. This is coming back to the Mount of Olives, cleaving in halves. Part of them go one way, part of them go another way. Now, we're on the verge of that very thing, of a great religious awakening. Some to the fact that they've been foolish. Foolish virgins, not having received the Holy Ghost, of being filled with the great, wonderful experience of the oil of gladness. Others will awake to the fact that they do have this wonderful experience of the indwelling Holy Ghost or the oil of life. That they did believe it, they did accept it. The others will go after it, but it will be too late. Sister Mariana, we said the other night, had to do with this coming from the gateway of the West. That was the place where the great arch is, and the place of interchange or trade that has to do with Calvary. Let's stand together and sing 243 in your red hymnal. Be also ready, the Bible said, for the hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. The world knows exactly nothing of what we're saying. They cannot know, for it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto you it is given. Unto you it is given, because the mysteries means the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which means the translation of your spirit from this world into His spirit, which is God's world. So then, it is given to you because your mind is relative to His mind, that the types and shadows may unveil to you. That is transformating of the mind, new birth by translation of the spirit of the indwelling inner man, transformating of the mind from glory to glory, and the ultimate of Thessalonians change, the transfiguration of the body, which is the rapture. Jesus on the Mount of Olivet, us going over there right now, has to do with that. And in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. This also has to do with my own natural children. From olive branch, a veil of death fell over our ministry. It has to do with that veil of death completely being lifted. Let's sing this song, 243. Now, when I say a veil of death, you don't understand. That means passing from that dimension of earth into this heavenly dimension of life. Returning from this heavenly dimension, going back, passing through that veil, into that earthly dimension, to take the boat, as we would say, one foot on the land and one on the sea, to go to the outer circumference, or to the outer places, the redemption of the body, those in the foreign fields. As a matter of fact, we just received a letter from Nigeria, and the brother over there said, from now on, all of our missions, Brother Pike, shall be called the International Affairs, which is the name of our missionary outreach.